Hello there, everyone.
Hi there, boys and girls. Welcome to another Story Hour session. What's your Bible story about today, Uncle Dan?
Well, Aunt Sue, we have come to the last chapter of the story of Daniel. Daniel, now an old man of around 90 years of age, is facing one of the greatest trials of his life. This story, perhaps one of the best known in the entire Bible, is recorded in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. I call it
The Lions and the Villains.
Daniel, now an old man of around 90 years of age, is to face one of the greatest trials of his life. Following the inglorious death of Belshazzar, Cyrus placed Darius the Median in charge of the kingdom.
You may come forward, scribe.
Long live the king.
Do you have the information I asked for?
I do, your majesty.
And you're ready to make your recommendations?
I am, your majesty.
Now first, in your opinion, was Belshazzar's government efficient?
Extremely so, your majesty. Belshazzar himself was shiftless, power-crazy, self-seeking, and indulgent. But the government was almost flawless.
Ah, a flawless government presided over by an egotistical playboy?
Well, it wasn't his government, your majesty. He inherited it. It was conceived and perfected by the great Nebuchadnezzar.
That sounds more plausible. Now, your recommendation.
I think it the better part of wisdom, your majesty, for you to reorganize the Babylonian government. I would suggest the structure be kept simple. Perhaps you could place 120 princes over the various provinces and cities of Chaldea. Mm-hmm. These 120 princes would be responsible to 3 presidents. Now, one of these 3 to be the first president. This first president would report directly to you, your majesty. And you, through him, could make your changes in policy and decrees known and operative throughout the kingdom.
Excellent, excellent.
I have but one other recommendation to make, your majesty.
Yes?
Caution.
Caution?
Caution in the choice of princes and presidents. They must be honest men, trustworthy, truthful, faithful. Otherwise, your majesty will never receive the full amount of the taxes collected, and he...
Yes, yes, I see what you mean. Well, but such men will be hard to find. 123 of them. Perhaps I can find some among the Babylonians.
Oh, use Babylonians in governing Persia, your majesty?
In governing the Babylonian part of Persia.
Ah.
Yes, why not? It might save me many headaches. Oh. The Babylonian people might cooperate better with one of their own number governing them.
Yes, yes, that's a brilliant idea, your majesty.
Oh, it isn't my idea. Many monarchs before me have used it.
And it worked?
Sometimes, and sometimes not. Depends, I think, upon the men chosen. Now, you don't happen to know of any in Belshazzar's court, do you, who might qualify? Honest, trustworthy, loyal?
Oh, I am afraid not, your majesty. However, during my investigation, there was a name that kept popping up. It seems as if he was King Nebuchadnezzar's right-hand man.
Is he popular with the people?
Oh, I was told, your majesty. He is the most popular man in all the kingdom. He's wise, prudent, has the spirit of the living God, and is able to interpret dreams and tell the future.
Well, maybe he's just the man I'm looking for. Who is he? What's his name?
Daniel, your majesty.
Daniel? Daniel. Seems as if I've heard of him before. But no mind. Arrange an audience with him. And scribe, look around. Ask questions. If you find anyone else who might fit into my government, arrange for an interview with them, too.
Yes, your majesty.
You may come forward, Daniel.
Long live the king.
So you're Daniel. Well, I've heard quite a bit about you. You're older than I expected you to be.
I've lived a long life, your majesty. A full, busy, enjoyable life.
I can believe that, Daniel. And a useful life, from what I hear.
God has been good to me, your majesty.
You give your God the credit for your successes?
All that I am, or was, or ever hope to be, is a gift from God.
Yeah. Well, your complete allegiance is to your God, huh?
No, Your Majesty. Only my first allegiance. I owe allegiance also to my king, my country, my city, my family, my friends, many people.
I understand that you have held positions of responsibility under several of Babylon's kings. Is this true?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well, how is it, Daniel, that you can render allegiance to any king that occupies the throne?
I believe, Your Majesty, that the God of heaven places upon the thrones of men those whom he chooses to place there.
You believe that your God placed me on this throne?
Oh, indeed I do, Your Majesty.
You approve?
God is all-knowing, all-powerful. He makes no mistakes.
Then you would be loyal to me simply because your God placed me upon the throne?
That and more, Your Majesty. In all cases and under all circumstances where the king has a right to command, I obey.
That seems to imply that in some areas you feel that your king wouldn't have the right to command, that the will of your God and your king might conflict, disagree. In such cases, where would be your loyalty and allegiance?
There can be no conflict between the wills of my God and my king. If my king wishes to rule the people wisely, well, and with justice.
You're the personification of wisdom, understanding, and diplomacy, Daniel. A breath of uninhibited loyalty. I've seldom said this, Daniel. Scarcely even thought it, but I am a king, and kings are lonely. We must separate ourselves from the people. We keep ourselves aloof. Consequently, we have no friends, or very few, if any. But with you, Daniel, I'd like to be more than a king. I'd like to be your friend.
Did you hear the way the king talked to that Daniel?
Yes, he said he wanted to be friends.
And Daniel isn't even a Babylonian, a captive Israelite, that's what he is. A disgrace to the throne.
Well, if the king wanted a special friend, why didn't he pick on one of us?
You, for instance.
Yes, me, for instance. If you ask me, I think no good will come of the whole thing.
Well, perhaps we are exaggerating the whole thing. Once the king gets settled on the throne with his courtiers around him and his princes, the court members, and the court activities and glamour, I think he'll forget about wanting Daniel as a friend.
Yeah, maybe you're right about the king, but you're figuring without taking Daniel into consideration. Now, he's smart, you know. He must be to have been chief prince under Nebuchadnezzar.
Well, on the other hand, the king is no dummy. He knows what he's about. All the interviewing he's been doing, it's done now. And soon we should know who's who in His Majesty's court. You. I think you will be the chief ruler directly under the king.
No, I should get that position. After all, no one is better qualified.
Agreed, Your Grace.
Your Grace?
Oh, yes.
And those I name shall begin their duties as princes of my kingdom immediately. And the three presidents I named, the 120 princes shall report directly to them. Two of the presidents shall report to and be responsible to the third. The third one shall be chief of the presidents and shall be responsible only to me.
I told you you'd be next to the king.
Well, he hasn't appointed me yet.
Well, you're one of the presidents, aren't you?
Yes, but not the chief president.
You will be.
And now to announce the chief president. He shall be my friend Daniel.
Long live Prince Daniel!
Daniel!
Of all the gall. Daniel is above us, our chief.
Oh, I'll get him. I'll get revenge. Undermine my influence with the king, Willie, and steal my position. Oh, he'll be sorry.
And the king preferred Daniel above the other presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set Daniel over the whole realm.
We have got to do something. We must not let the king appoint Daniel over the entire kingdom. It wouldn't be right. An Israelite over us? No, it must not be.
How are we going to prevent it? You know the king. He gets an idea and nothing can stop him. If he thinks to make Daniel head of the realm, he'll do it.
Well, there's one way we can stop it. Discredit Daniel before the king.
Discredit Daniel? To the king? Impossible. They're friends, special friends.
Daniel isn't perfect. No man is. Well, when Daniel makes a mistake, and he will, we'll simply report the thing to the king, and he, thinking Daniel above mistakes, will be disappointed, and whoosh. That's the end of Daniel.
Yes, but how are we going to discover the mistakes Daniel will make?
Just watch him. Keep check on him, all of us. Is it understood? We will all watch Daniel. We'll meet again in a fortnight and plan the final downfall of Daniel. Gentlemen, we seem to have failed to watch Daniel closely enough. At least none of us have come up with anything at all against him.
As impossible as it may seem, I don't think Daniel makes any errors. He seems to be faithful, loyal, and completely efficient in his business activities. If he made an error...
Just a minute! Hmm? You mentioned that Daniel makes no errors in his business deals. Well, I wonder about his religious life. Perhaps we can trap Daniel through his God.
I'm told that Daniel is very faithful to his God. He'd rather die than be disloyal to the God he worships.
Aha! That very trait will trip him. His loyalty will be his downfall.
I don't see it. Explain, please.
Well, we know that Daniel goes through certain ceremonies in the worship of his God, right?
Right.
And the king is, egotistical. He loves praise and flattery, right?
So?
We'll play one against the other. Daniel's loyalty to his God, the king's desire for flattery. We will approach his majesty with flattering words. O King Darius, live forever.
Yes, President. I understand that you requested an audience. You should have gone through Daniel. He is the chief president. However, audience granted. Speak up.
Your Majesty, I wish to report that all your princes, presidents, governors, counselors, and captains in the realm have consulted together and wish to make a suggestion.
Yes?
It is felt, Your Majesty, that your prestige, your power, and the recognition of your kingship here in Babylon should be enhanced, increased.
Could be. Go on.
Therefore, Your Majesty, we suggest that you establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O King, shall be cast into the den of lions.
This will increase my power and prestige?
Most assuredly, Your Majesty. Oh. These Babylonian people know no authority except power, force. For 30 days, they will be forced to come to thee, O King, for all things.
I see. I'll have to get the court scribe to write the decree.
We already have it written, Your Majesty. Hmm? Here it is.
Now, are you sure that this decree will add to my power and authority?
Oh, yes, Your Majesty, absolutely. All your counselors agree that it will do exactly that, and add to your honor as well. Sign this, Your Majesty, and for 30 days you shall be king and god and all things to all people.
I am great, and the people do have the right to know it.
Right, Your Majesty.
I am all things to all people. Without me, they would suffer and be adrift as a piece of wood on an angry sea. Scribe that quill.
Long live King Darius.
Long live the king.
There, it is signed into law. For 30 days, all people must come to me for their very subsistence. I shall be their king and their god.
And anyone disobeying this decree shall die in the den of lions.
Now, the law of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed. Neither can it be revoked. I have signed it, and so shall it be.
Hail to King Darius, god and king of Babylon and the world.
Hail to Darius, god and king of Babylon and the world.
He fell for it. Flatter the king a little, he goes wild with delight. He'd give his crown away.
I wonder what his majesty would do if he knew the decree was aimed especially at his friend Daniel.
It's too late to do anything. It's the law now. Daniel is about to become lunch for the lions.
If he continues to worship his God.
Oh, he will. He's that fanatical. Nothing can deter him from his usual practices. All we have to do is catch him at it and report it to the king.
Although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where there were windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. And he knelt down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God.
Come forward, counselors.
Hail to Darius, king of the world.
Well, my counselors, and how are things going this fair morning?
Oh, we are sad. Downhearted, your majesty.
Well, cheer up. Things are never as bad as they seem.
Yes, your majesty.
And what causes my counselors so much obvious grief and sadness?
Oh, king. Did you not sign an interdict that any man who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?
I did. And according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, it cannot be changed.
Oh, king, there is a man high in your court that regards not you nor the decree that you did sign.
What?
But he asks petition of his god 3 times a day.
Why, he shall be cast into the den of lions. He and his... Wait, you say it's a man high in my court?
Yes, your majesty.
Who in my court is that disloyal, daring to disobey my orders?
It is that Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, who pays no heed to you.
Daniel? Oh, I've been duped. You have no zeal for my kingly glory and honor. Only jealousy against Daniel. It was a plot. A snare designed to get Daniel.
His majesty is...
Well, I'll find a way to save Daniel from the lions.
Oh, king, we would remind you that the laws of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed. The king signed the decree into royal law. Daniel must be cast into the den of lions.
Get out! Before I have all of you thrown to the lions.
Long live the king.
Long live the king.
Scribe.
Yes, your majesty.
Clear the court. Cancel all my appointments. I do not want to be disturbed.
Immediately, your majesty.
You yourself remain. I want your help.
Yes, your majesty. All right, now.
Oh, what a fool I was to listen to those jealous princes. I should have known their flattery was empty of sincerity. I failed Daniel. I betrayed him. I must save him from the lions, but how? How? Daniel, the only true and loyal member of my court, and I betrayed him.
At your service, your majesty.
You realize what I've done, scribe?
I realize, your majesty, what the princes and rulers have done to you.
No, it's my own fault. I never should have listened to their flattering praises. But it's done. The harm has been wrought, and now I must undo what I have done. I must save Daniel, but how? How?
The decree is law, royal law, and it cannot be changed.
But I signed it under duress. They lied to me, tricked me into signing. Is it under those conditions, can it be altered or abolished altogether?
I am afraid not, your majesty.
Well, maybe I... Yes. Is it possible to substitute someone in the place of Daniel?
You mean throw someone else to the lions in Daniel's
yes,
place?
Yes. Can it be done?
Well, that depends, your majesty, upon the wording of the decree itself.
Do you have a copy of the decree?
I have the original, your majesty, in the royal archive.
Oh, get it. Read it and study it. Then let me know immediately.
Yes, your majesty. Live the king.
Can I substitute someone for Daniel?
Oh, the decree is well written, your majesty. It took great pains that there would be no loophole.
Then it's impossible to substitute.
The decree is binding upon the person who committed the petition.
Oh, Daniel, forgive me, Daniel. For it was I who... Say, does the decree specify exactly when the offender is to be cast to the den of lions? Maybe I can delay it permanently.
The decree is specific about that also, your majesty.
And?
The offender must be cast to the lions at sundown of the day he commits the petition.
Today? I've got to cast Daniel in today?
According to the law, yes, Your Majesty.
Is there no way I can save Daniel?
Well, none that I know of, Your Majesty.
We have until sundown to discover a way.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I'll go to the Royal Archive, Scribe, and study the law. Perhaps a law signed rashly as I did that one can be declared of no effect. And hurry, Scribe!
Yes, Your Majesty. Long live the king.
I can tell by the look on your face that you did not discover a way to save Daniel.
There is no way, Your Majesty.
And it's nearly sundown. I wonder if Daniel knows about all this, that I must cast him to the lions.
Oh, you can be sure he does, Your Majesty. His enemies, those princes and rulers and presidents, will make sure Daniel knows, so that they can gloat and laugh and enjoy their victory. Your Majesty, shall I instruct the guards to bring Daniel and cast him into the den of lions?
No, I'll do it myself. He's my friend, my most loyal subject. I wronged him, and I myself will honor his friendship by personally escorting him to the den. That is the least I can do. Daniel, I'm sorry about this.
I understand, Your Majesty. You were tricked into signing the decree.
Yes, Daniel, but it was my own fault. I'm responsible. I listened to their flattery when I should have known better. Oh, Daniel, why didn't you worship your God in private for 30 days?
I couldn't, Your Majesty. Had I tried to conceal my fidelity to God, it would appear as if my connection with heaven had been severed. Boldly, yet humbly and quietly, I had to worship God as usual, and thus openly declare that no earthly power has the right to interpose between the soul and God.
Your Majesty, according to the law, the time is here. It must be done now.
Goodbye, Your Majesty. May God bless you and your people.
Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you.
All right, guard. Move the stone from the mouth of the den.
And they cast Daniel into the den of the lions. And the stone was laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting.
Don't you want something to eat, Darius?
No.
A little wine?
No.
Fasting won't bring Daniel back to life.
I hope he isn't dead.
Isn't dead? Why, those lions would have torn him to pieces immediately. Go to sleep, Darius. What good will it do to moan and worry about it? What has happened has happened. Going so early in the morning?
To the lion's den, to see if Daniel is still alive.
Oh, Darius, how could he be? All night with those lions?
His God could have saved him. He serves a living, all-powerful, faithful God, faithful to deliver those who are faithful and true to him.
Guard! Move the stone from the mouth of the den. Quickly! O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God been able to deliver you from the lions?
O King, live forever.
What? Well, you're alive!
My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, have I done no wrong.
Guard! Guard, bring Daniel up out of the den!
Here, hang on to the end of this rope, and I'll pull you up.
Oh, Daniel, my friend, I felt sure that your God would deliver you.
O king, live forever.
You're not in any way harmed, Daniel?
No, your majesty. The lions had no power against me.
Oh, you worship a wonderful god, Daniel. And I... Scribe, guard, I want you to round up all those princes and governors and rulers, everyone who had a part in tricking me to signing that decree. Cast them all into this very den. Let's see if the lions have power over them.
Yes, yes, right away, your majesty.
And Daniel, you come with me to the palace. You and I are going to feast.
And those men who had accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of the lions. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, and said unto them,
Peace unto you! I here decree that in all my royal dominions, men fear the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be unto the end of time. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions.
When Daniel, faithful to his God, would not bow down to men, and by God's enemies was hurled into the lion's den, God shut the savage lions' mouths and robbed them of their prey. And the God that lived in Daniel's time is just the same today. Just the same, just the same. God is just the same today, just the same, just the same.